Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Only a few more days we'll be able to say Merry Christmas and it's going to be here. Has anyone else's Christmas season flown by? It's going to be here quickly, isn't it? Well, welcome. I'm glad you're with us today. If you're first-time visitors, welcome. I'm Pastor David Ramsey, and we're blessed to have you here at Lakeside with us today. So please fill out your Connect cards. That's our next order of business. You'll find them in your bulletin. This is how you record your attendance with us, as well as any information that may be changed or you would like for us to have in the office. So I encourage you to fill those out and drop them in the offering plate as it comes by today. Just a reminder, we are going to be having a candlelight service on Christmas Eve at 7 p.m. It's always a very moving and very inspirational, and it kicks off our celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. So I encourage you all to come out on Wednesday evening and enjoy a time of fellowship and just celebrating the birth of our King. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Matthew Neal's yesterday, we had a whopping crowd of volunteers, and they served 214 meals.
Wow.
Thank you.
prepare our hearts and minds to focus on you, and awaken in our hearts the wonder, the miracle of your Son coming to live among us, 100% human and 100% God, and to die for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You may be seated. I could invite the poet Dan Walsh forward for week four Advent candle lighting.
And told her that she would conceive the child in her womb and would call him Jesus, Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Luke 1:38. And Mary sings her song of praise. My soul magnifies the Lord. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry. He has provided for the poor. Luke 1:46-55. We marvel at Mary, the mother of Messiah, herself a single teenage mother, herself poor and powerless. But she understood that the baby she would call Jesus was sent not just to her, but to the world, to the hungry, to the weak, to the very young and the very old, to those who suffer and are in pain. We light this fourth candle to remember Mary, the mother of Jesus. May the light of this candle also remind us that the light of Jesus shines for everyone. Let us pray. Brothers and sisters, as we joyfully await the glorious coming of the Christ, let us pray for the needs of the church, our community, and the world. God of promise, you have given us a sign of your love through the gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who has promised from ages past. We believe, as Joseph did, the message of your presence whispered by an angel, and offered our prayers for your world, confident of your care and mercy for all creation. Amen. Thank you.
Catriona, what's your name? What's your name? Cat, tell her her name. Devin. You know your name has meaning. What's my name? It's not Pastor David. My birth certificate doesn't say Pastor David. It says David. What does David mean? I'm sort of proud of this. In biblical terms, what does David mean? Anyone know? Beloved, someone said. So apparently, wait a minute, are there any other Davids here? David. Where's David Wise? I heard they were back in town. So there's only four of us in here that's beloved by God. That's pretty special, isn't it, David? Shouldn't we feel special today? I got a few examples here. You know what John means? God gave. God gave John some work to do. So good name. How about Mary? The perfect one. How about Caleb? Faithful and bold. I'm glad my mom didn't name me Alex or a girl Alexis, because that's helper. You always end up helping people. So I'm glad I didn't. How about Michael? We have some Michaels here.
Michael.
And this is, might be pretty appropriate. Michael is one who is like God. Elizabeth is God's promise. Now Daniel or Danielle, God is my judge. Your names are not in there because you have these new modern names. The destiny speaks for itself, doesn't it? It has a name. Did your mom ever have a baby book with names, baby names, and tell you what it means? What does yours mean?
Percy means pure, and my middle name is God's gift.
Pure and God's gift. Very nice. Devin, do you know what your name means? Did your mom ever look it up in a book? What does it mean? We all have a meaning behind our names, where they came from. So now you have an assignment to go home and get on your iPad and put your name, the meaning of your name, right? So when Mary and Joseph and God came and spoke to them, He even told them what to name their baby. What did they name their baby? Why did they name him Jesus? Because God said so. That's a pretty good reason, right? That's exactly right. When God tells you to do something, it's probably a pretty good idea to do it. What if they would have named you Sam or something, and it would have come time and Jesus had work to do, and they called him Sam or Sue. You ever hear of a boy named Sue? Dating ourselves, aren't we, Marty? Our names have meaning. Even God spoke to Mary and Joseph to name their son Jesus. So I'm sure that if you talk to your parents and find out why they named you, why they did, I bet they have some inspiration from God to come up with those names for you, because they're very meaningful. Amen?
Amen.
So if you don't know what your name means, look it up today and find out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us all names. Father, we are grateful that our names have meaning to you, and meaning in the heart of God is what we live for. So, Father, just bless us today. Let us be grateful and thankful for the names you've given each one of us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Service now, when we go before the Lord and looking at the stack of cards today. This is a joyous season, a joyous time in our lives. There are also people that are hurting and need God's provision for them even during Christmas. So hear these names today as I lift them up and keep them in prayer. I carry your bulletins with you. There's a weekly list in there as well. We did have a memorial service for Betty Lee Simmons Gray yesterday. We had an awesome time celebrating her life and just a testimony of her family and friends. She lived to be 90 years old. Life well lived, and just a beautiful beautiful person, and she will be missed by their family as well. The family of Jennifer Hackenberg, she passed away on Monday as well. Jason Daly is Betty McMurtry's nephew. That was his girlfriend, long-time girlfriend. She's 39 years old, died of cancer on Monday as well. So keep that family in your prayers as well. For those in the hospital, Joe Guinness is in JFK, and lift up Joe and Nancy and their entire family during this time of year. It's always difficult to have someone in the hospital. Joyce Blankenship, she's not feeling well this morning, health issues. We continue to pray for Maria, Alina's sister in Jacksonville, who's battling cancer as well. The Van Wintle family, whose mother's in hospice, and the father had a small stroke, a pacemaker. Just had a pacemaker put in there. Yeah. So continue to pray for that family as well for healing. We have a praise today. Andy Chapman had a lump on the back of his head that came back not cancerous. So they're going to continue to pray for Andy that he would get complete and quick healing for you, Andy. Norma Johnson as well. She's been moved to a nursing facility. Just continue to lift up Judy and her mom and dad. Lewis Saunders had surgery yesterday. Roy Taylor, he's in JFK as well. He's the first cousin of Tom Harden, so continue to pray for the Harden family. Tom is getting stronger every day, but be glad that he's able to come back to church and be with us. So Ray Taylor and his family. Travel mercies for Marianne Davis. Pray for Marianne Davis. Her health has been giving her some problems as well. Travel mercies for Beverly and Kate Knapp as well. Friends of the Walshes who are facing being homeless during this time of year, so pray for that situation as well. And just for help and strength and guidance at work for a situation for decision making. And we do want to lift up the police officers who were shot in New York over the weekend, and just their families, and just how that whole situation is so tragic. A lot on our plate today. God has a lot to deal with, a lot to take care of this morning. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Bring those things not mentioned this morning that are in your heart that go unspoken. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you've heard our list this morning. It's very long. But that means we have hurting souls in our midst today. Father, we pray for healing and health for those suffering with illness and setbacks in their treatment and care. Father, during this Christmas season, we pray especially that this Christmas memory would be a good one for families dealing with all these issues. Father, where there's been loss this week, we pray for comfort and peace from the sorrow of missing loved ones. But Father, we know for a fact that they are glorified today in your presence. So Father, we just pray for peace and comfort for those left behind, for those mourning the loss of loved ones. We pray for your divine grace and peace to overcome these situations. Father, we pray for all those mentioned that are in hospital, that are needing medical attention. We pray for the discernment of doctors and nurses and therapists that are gifted to help when we are in need. Father, we pray a miraculous healing upon each of these names listed and those who have gone unsaid today, Lord, that are in our hearts, our family and loved ones near and far that we heard for this morning. Father God, thank you for this beautiful day. You've given us a lot to be thankful for. On top of all the suffering that we see around us, our hearts and our spirits should be filled with joy at the good news of Jesus Christ, the coming of a baby to save the world. So Father, just bless our time together as we glorify you today and give you praise and thanksgiving for the lives and the way that you're living out your Spirit in each one of us here today. Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer and honor God in the way that Jesus taught us. Our Father,
may be seated.
Amen. Silent was the night before the gift came. Amen. Thank you, choir. I know none of you have any loose ends in your life that need to be tidied up, even at this busy time of year, right? Everyone is on schedule and got everything taken care of ahead of time. Family and friends coming into town, all the arrangements have been made, the food prepared, right?
Right.
Everything good?
Right, yeah.
Good, good. So Christmas Eve, when you show up for service, everything will be nice, calm, cool, and collected, right?
Right.
Amen. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit today about loose ends and what we need to do to let our lives be the example that Christ is calling us to be. Our scripture today is found in Romans 16, verses 25 through 27. Please stand if you're able for the reading of God's Word this morning. Listen to these words as encouragement for carrying out our daily lives. Hear these words. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are a called people. The scripture this morning is leading us to be joyful in that calling. Father, thank you for the blessings of this scripture. Let us now hear the meaning of the message and be energized for the good news of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I think it's safe to say that as a people, even of God, we normally have some loose ends that we need to tie up, right? Do we get stressed out when we try to control everything in our life? I used to be a control freak. Used to be, right, Nancy? I have now given everything over to her, and I'm a lot better. The funny thing is, she's not a control freak either. So when you have two people living together in a home that says, whatever, there can be issues with that as well. There can be some loose ends with that as well. We're going to learn a little bit today from our scripture and from this message that when we start living our lives with the calling of Jesus Christ upon us, that we can turn some of those things over to Him. How many of you have said, I've got to get my life under control? Everyone's life is under control? Everyone's good. They're good. Darren, you're good. Everything's good. Good. Well, I think it's safe to say that no matter what stage of our lives we find ourselves in, things can get out of control, can't they?
Amen.
Well, when things are out of control, isn't it because we want to be in control?
Amen.
Do we like to be in control?
Yes.
I think we do. You think when our life gets deadlocked and we're so tied up in being in control, what's the first thing we need to do?
Let go.
I gave you this assignment probably a month or 6 weeks ago. Get up in the morning. First thing you do when your feet hit the floor is commit your day to God. Commit yourselves to God on that day. When we get deadlocked in our life, it's because we haven't allowed the floodgates of the Holy Spirit to flow through us. I know, because I spoke with many of you, when we give things up to God, that's easy to say. Give it up to God. I say it all the time.
Amen.
God says, well, that's fine, but I give you to take care of this. No, God, I'm giving it to you to take care of. I've done a thing in many different Christian settings, and When the leadership has been a little sketchy and the leadership has said, well, just let God take care of it. We don't need to worry about all those details. I got very frustrated with that, and I would say, listen, God did take care of the details. He put you in charge of them. That gives you a different aspect on things, doesn't it? We like to be on center stage, don't we? Now, most of us say, no, I don't like to be in the center stage. People that come up here and stand at this podium and say, oh, that's nerve-wracking up there. How do you do that? That's why when I got here, they didn't use this. It sat back there in the corner. My first Sunday before I ever preached, I said, put that big massive one up there so I can hide behind it. If they rush the stage, I have a rock now. I can throw at least the first one. And I can hide back here. We don't always like to be center stage. But you know who should be center stage in our lives? Who is it? Jesus. Jesus Christ should be the center of our stage.
Amen.
We stumble over all the time our previous failures, don't we? Instead of realizing that we've been set free. Is it human nature to relive our failures?
Yes.
Boy, I really messed that up. I'll continue to dwell on it day in and day out. Could mess my life up. You know, a lot of times all we can do is sympathize, can't we? We sympathize with others. When they feel that way. How can we do that? You know, we have to come to a place that we're willing to admit our failures, aren't we?
Yeah.
Admit our failures, give them up to God. That's easy. Often said, Ash Wednesday is my favorite service of the year. In previous churches, we put a big wooden cross up here, and you come in and you nail your sin to the cross. And you leave it there. Give it up to God, we would say. When I got in the car, son of a gun, if that slip of paper went back in my pocket. I nailed it on the cross, but it was waiting for me when I got to the car. Because I really didn't give it up, did I? For years, I would try to give up the same thing, thinking, God, finally you're going to keep it. Take it, keep it. We admit our addiction to being in control, to being powerful. Our own human tendency to be in power. We need to change our focus. We need to change who is the center of our lives. Is it easy for us not to be the center of our own lives? In the service yesterday we had for Betty, many people said she never put herself first. No matter what, everyone else was put first in her life. She thought of everyone else. So I like to look at her as an example that we can use of someone that was able to put others first. I don't know that that's a human tendency that we like to realize all the time in ourselves, but when we see it represented in others, it can be a real gift. At Christmas, we always speak of the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's the only place we can go to find that security. When Jesus is center stage in our lives, we can stand behind Him. He can be our pulpit. There are times when I'm standing here that I feel the arms of Jesus around me. I think I was just speaking with someone here earlier today. This has not always been, and it's still not, a place that I'm comfortable. When I reached a point in my life and I gave my life to Christ and said, God, I'll make a fool of myself for you. I'll mess up for you. if that's what you call me to do, put me up there. Put me in, Coach. You know my story, most of you, maybe some of you don't. I ran from that calling for a long time. When I finally submitted to God's will in my life, first time I stood in a pulpit and preached, I left there that day thinking, that stunk. That was awful. That was terrible. Thanks, God, for putting me right where I needed to be.
Amen.
Thanks for blessing me for being so lousy and so rotten. And probably now, about 5 years later, since the time I started actually preaching in front of the congregation, most days I leave here and you can ask my wife, I say, that really stunk. I don't think the message was very good today. And I know she loves me. And I know she tries to encourage me because she said, no, that was really a good message today. Well, I hope so. But when I made the decision to put Jesus Christ first in my life, this standing up here became a lot easier, I got to tell you. It's not easy. It's easier. There was a time in my life when you'd be dialing 911 right now because I would have keeled over and probably died standing up here in front of you. Right, Mom? My whole life in school, if they ever made me get up in front of the class and read something, I was sick that day. It's a miracle I didn't die. I would be so anxious and nervous about it. Because I think you can die from anxiety. I've tried it. So far, I've made it. You know, in Romans, Paul is giving us what it's like, giving us the rundown of what it is to be a Christian. Chapters 1 through 11, Paul is telling us that we are called to be disciples, followers of Jesus. Each one of us are called. Chapters 12 through 16, Paul is telling us about the wonderful grace of God that frees us. Do we always buy into that? Does God's grace free us? Yes, it does. I hope if you haven't experienced this, that you soon will. Dedicate yourselves to a life in Christ, and you will be set free. In our scriptures for today, the final chapters in Romans, it tells them how God is going to influence and establish His power in our lives. The scripture today that I read is telling us that Jesus is able. He has the power to change our lives. That's a simple message. God in the entire book of Romans is trying to tell us that. Rest in my arms. What does God want for us? He wants us to be stable in an unstable world. Does our world make sense today?
No.
Some of you are older. Did the world make sense when you were children? When you were young people, young adults? Did the world seem like it was spiraling out of control? My dad always said, those were the good old days. I don't ever want to go back there again. Those good old days aren't quite. We can romanticize them later on, can't we? And we remember good memories. But folks, the world has always been a little upside down, a little crazy. I think today we can read our newspapers and our television and our news programs and see that we live in an upside down world with a lot of loose ends to tie up, right? Lots of loose ends in our world. You feel confident that you have a gospel? That you live the gospel? That's where our strength comes from. God is allowing us to be stable in an unstable world. Does our lives reflect that gospel to those around us every day? I love the saying, preach the gospel in everything you do, and if necessary, use words. Do you as Christians feel like people are watching you? First of all, when you leave this place and you get in your car and you drive to the corner, would anyone that see you think, oh, they must be Christian? I also love the saying, if you were taken to court on a charge of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? This is quite the Christmas message today, isn't it? It is the Christmas message. You know why? Because the gift of a baby, Jesus Christ, is what came and changed the world for each of us. The way we live our life, the way we spread the gospel in our own family, where we work, the way you treat your spouse, you're preaching the gospel to others. All of a sudden, it's putting a little more pressure on us, isn't it? Because people might be watching us. I told you about me not wanting a fish on my car, right? When I traded cars, I made sure my wife didn't stick that fish on the back of it. Because I do drive 95. And I hate to be dressed up in a suit and tie with a fish on my back, because now you're all of a sudden in the news world. If you got a suit and tie on, you must be a pastor. And you're out here acting like that. So now they at least think I'm a lawyer. Any lawyers, I apologize. We all have the power of the gospel within us. As believers in Jesus Christ, we live our life as an example to others. That's the Christmas gift. At Christmas time, we always talk about God's gift to us. We sing about it, we decorate our houses, we write about it. But what if the Christmas story was only told in your personal story? You know, we can put up all these decorations, all these nice lights that we put on our houses, all these nice things that we do. Watch Hallmark movies 24/7 from October through January at 7, 9, and 11 p.m. At 4 in the morning, at 7 o'clock in the morning, you can find a Christmas movie on television. Can you believe that? And now I think there's about 3 or 4 channels. Now she is hiding herself from me. But you know what? What if the real Christmas story was how Jesus Christ works in your own life? Amen. Would you be able to tell the Christmas story through your life? About what God has given you? What would our family and friends and our schoolmates and workers that we work with, what would they call our gospel? What would they think of our gospel? What would they think of it? 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3, Paul says it. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. That's where the gospel is really written, folks, is on your heart. Amen. When people read your heart, do they see the gospel?
I hope so.
We certainly do hope so. It really is good news to share with people. This time of year, we pray that we are an example. Nancy and I went to the Wellington Mall on Friday night. Try to be a good Christian. I actually think we did okay. I had no broken bones, no open, bleeding wounds, and I don't believe I inflicted any on anyone around me. We've got to live. We've got to search our heart. We've got to hear the Christmas message coming directly from us. You know, really the last thing we want to be is in control, right? We all live by the mantra, I'm a control freak, I need to. But we really want Jesus Christ in control, don't we?
Amen.
Don't we want Jesus in control of our lives? Amen. And the outcome of our lives? Folks, the Christmas message is simple. God gave us a great gift. He's asked us to live the gospel in our hearts. Paul's telling us that right here. Right here is the true Christmas story. How God, how Jesus Christ has changed you. That's what I tell folks. Oh, I can't witness to anyone. Don't witness to anyone. Just sit down and tell them what Jesus has done for you.
Amen.
That's witnessing, but you don't have to. Witnessing's kind of scary. That's something you do in court. This is not the court of public opinion. This is the court of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will give you the words to share. You know, normally we should just share what we should share with everyone. But how difficult is it to share with those we love? Is it more difficult? I always used to say I would love to go talk to some stranger on the street than I would somebody in my own family about their faith. Why is that? Because we can turn and walk away from a stranger on the street, can't we? Someone that we're around all the time, now we have to prove ourselves over the long haul. Our heart has to be pure. Our heart has to be Catriona. She said her name meant pure. That's the Christmas message. We're getting close to the time of the birth of Jesus. And we celebrate that coming gift. A week or so ago, I preached about Christmas being the second coming of Christ. The celebration of things to come. So Merry Christmas, everyone. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And I love you.
And we love you.
Merry Christmas. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of Christmas. Father, let that gift be evident in our hearts and how we live our lives. Father, let us not talk bad of one another. Let us not be of the world. Let us live in the world. Let us be stable in an unstable world. Father, bless us. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
gospel of your love would be lived out in each one of us. Father, send us forth from this place. Let us be the light and grace of Christ in an unstable world. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift that you bring. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.